cliffcentral.com. The cast and crew of the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com, featuring Mavali Molloy.
Good morning.
Featuring Ben Karpinski.
Hey, hey, hey.
Featuring Hashida Matebulla.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Michael Flaxton, holiday in Italy. He sent pictures over the weekend in front of the Colosseum. Made some comment about how Rome definitely wasn't built in a day.
This was meant to be Jewish camp, right?
Uh-huh.
In Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm no historian, but...
Yeah. I know where you're going with this.
Did his mother give him money for Jewish camp and then he then booked tickets elsewhere? Is this how it happened?
Probably something like that. Oh, good morning. Oh, Ben's back. So how was your trip?
Gareth, it was really, really incredible. I feel so disorientated now because obviously there's a whole jet lag thing.
Mm.
And
because you come from east to west.
Yeah, so we took off from Singapore at 1:30 in the morning. I couldn't sleep in the plane. Middle seats are always shite like
God,
that.
That's horrible.
And then I tried to stay awake the whole of yesterday, and I achieved that, and had a sleep. And then my cat sort of sauntered in at 1 a.m.,
yeah,
sneezed in my face, and I haven't been able to sleep since. So forgive me if I feel a bit disorientated or talk a bit slowly.
I understand.
Slightly zoned out here.
But you had a good time, huh?
Yeah, it was so cool. The Thailand part was, yeah, it was great. It was a beach holiday. And then we spent a day in Singapore, which was just incredible. Like, it's such a fascinating place. Like, I love first world cities. And it's basically, like, they're built out of a jungle. It's just trees everywhere. It's so beautiful.
Yeah,
massively
Singapore
expensive.
Singapore is probably, I think it's like in terms of countries, because it's a separate country from everywhere. It's a city that's a country.
Yeah.
It's like in the top five places in the world where everything works.
It's so easy. We got there. The airport's incredible. You take a train. It's so simple. Pretty much everyone speaks English and everything works. Everything is beautiful. Everything is like picture perfect. But at the same time, they've still got old cultures and heritage spots. Like, we had lunch in the Chinese Quarter, but it's like a proper Chinese Quarter though. It's not like something just made yesterday. And then there's like a Malay Quarter. There's Indian Quarters. It's so cool. It's like little bits of Cape Town, but then just huge skyscrapers.
Mm.
The Marina Sands, they basically reclaimed like 6 kilometers of ocean. And they built like the ecosystems and the forest. And
wow.
It's incredible.
No, it does sound incredible. I've never been there, and I think it's got to be a place everybody goes to at least once.
Definitely.
Yeah. Hey, you missed out on the Olympics mostly. I mean, being here with us for the Olympics. And obviously you couldn't see a lot of it over there. Now, I watched Costa Semenya's race over the weekend because I was up. I was at the Lurie's in Durban, and I went back to my place, and I got all comfortable. I didn't want to get drunk with everyone else on the Saturday night, and I was there in front of the TV for a change. You know when you just call it quits early?
Yeah.
You just... And it feels, it feels good. Like, you know you're not going to wake up with a hangover. I saw Bevan Cullinan and I saw the Goliaths, all the 8 of them.
Yeah.
They were sitting in front of me on the plane. And they looked very, 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 very hungover. In fact, they looked still drunk. And they were telling me how well their place in Melrose Arch is doing, which I'm thrilled about. But I digress. So I sat in front of the TV and I saw Costa Semenya. And remember... If you didn't watch the race, you could see the highlights. They were all over the place. Everybody was sharing them.
Mm.
But for a long part of the race, up to that final lap, she didn't look like she was going to win.
Isn't that her style?
Yeah. But I didn't know this because I've never watched her properly from beginning to end.
See, but this is the thing. People are fans of Costa for various reasons, right? Or they don't like her for various reasons. But what people mustn't forget is that she's a master tactician. The strategy that she used for that race, and... I mean, I watched it about 23 times because I was trying to catch up and it was every second highlight, which wasn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
But watch how she goes about that race. She knows where her strengths are. She knows what she's got against the other girls. And it was beautiful to watch.
Well,
that final kick, all the other runners are scrambling.
She goes around the outside. Great. You know, the other girl is, I don't know where she was the one who came second. She's running on the inside lane, which is where you want to be. Costa has so much power at this point. She's like, all right, time to step it up. She pushes her gear down into fifth and she goes on the outside, comes back on the inside. Now the girl can't go anywhere because if she goes on the outside, it's going to be too late.
Exactly.
And then Costa's going, but she powers ahead and there's not a there's not a second in that last 200 to 300 meters of the race. There's not a second where you don't feel she can't keep it up. It's consistent.
Yeah, exactly.
She's just got such perfect timing in terms of when she releases the pedal.
Like, people keep going on about the fact that, like, testosterone, intersex, all that kind of crap. And there was no guarantee of her winning that race. Other people were just as talented. And the thing is, when it comes to that big night, you can like, sort of suffocate with your own anxiety and stuff. So all that stuff goes out of the window when it comes to actually showtime. But the way she ran the race was brilliant because she just played to her strengths. But I've got one question about Costa, right?
Yeah.
And this may be controversial or whatever it may be. Yeah. Where did the Portuguese accent come from?
Well,
seriously,
she doesn't have interviews.
I mean, come on, like, she was doing interviews, right?
Yeah.
And again, she speaks so well. You can see she's like, you know exactly what her achievement's about. It's a really great moment in her career. But she sounded so Portuguese. Like, was she training there?
I'm going to see if I can't find a clip of that quickly because I did hear something.
Like, has she been in Brazil that long?
Yeah. She's clearly, she's taken on the Brazilian Portuguese accent. Let me just see if I can find her. No, there's nothing here. It's just all about gender controversy.
Yeah, it's difficult to get these clips, obviously, because during the Olympics, rights issues and stuff. So you battle to find clips like you used to in other events.
I did think this is, because they've obviously restricted us. But yeah. I did find this pretty funny. This British woman, Lindsay, what's her surname?
Sharp.
Yeah, Lindsay Sharp. There we go.
We know how each other feel, but it's out with our control and very much relying on the people at the top sorting it out. And like, I think the public can see as well, sorry, like just how difficult it is with the change of rule, but all we can do is give it our best.
Fuck you!
Oh. Very, very...
She came sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth, and she's whining and carrying on like that. Now, that means if all the four people who came first, second, third, and fourth were all disqualified, she still wouldn't have won.
So unfair.
You didn't get a medal. You didn't even get placed. Just shut up.
Yeah, it was her best ever run to get sixth.
Shame.
But what I found was quite dodgy about that is that rather than just, you know, look, people have sour grapes, all that kind of stuff. That's just human nature, right?
Yeah.
This is the woman's life, is running around a track, and her best can get her sick. Obviously, she's going to be upset.
Yeah.
Cut the chick some slack. Just ignore her. Ignore her.
Yeah, ignore her,
people
actually.
People spent all of yesterday just trolling her, saying, oh, white tears, you think you're entitled to medals. No, the chick's just bitter because she's not as good as she wants to be.
Yeah, but we mustn't now climb into her
she's
the enemy.
But that's exactly what Twitter
there
was
are so many
yesterday.
Other people who are so much meaner than what she was. I mean, she's just clearly emotional because she didn't win.
She's invested in the actual race. I mean, she was in the race.
Right. Anyway, listen, we got to get into news. We've got to get into sport. There's a lot to catch up on. Let's get cracking, everybody. By the way, only 7 days to go until Touch Central launches, which is very exciting. I'll be able to tell you more about that this week. So stick around for all the information. But first, let's not waste a single second of time. It is time for Mabale Moloi to give us the latest. All right, what do we got?
Oh, we've got another tragic story coming out of Turkey, Gareth, where at least 50 people were killed over the weekend after a suspected suicide bomber detonated his explosives among people who were dancing on the street as part of a wedding party. 50 people killed. President Tayyip Erdogan said it was likely that Islamic State militants carried out the late-night attack, and this is now the deadliest bombing this year in Turkey. You know, just a few weeks ago, I was talking about another incident where that had been considered the deadliest. This one has just topped it with the death of 50 people. Just weeks ago, the president and his government survived an attempted coup. Islamic State has been blamed for other attacks in Turkey, often targeting Kurdish gatherings in an effort to inflame ethnic tensions.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Celebrations were ending at the traditional henna night party when guests have decorated paint applied to their hands and feet, and some families had already left when the bomb went off, but women and children were mostly among the dead.
That's so sad, you know, and so unnecessary. The whole thing is just so unnecessary. I was talking to someone over the weekend. If aliens attacked us, if aliens landed on Earth and attacked us, we'd forget about all this shit. And we'd fight the aliens.
Yeah, like Independence Day.
Yeah, right. We would be united in fighting the aliens.
Instead, we're looking for reasons to hate each other and fight each other. For God's sake, grow up. It's 2016.
And this happens in every part of the world where people are looking for reasons to hate each other. It's just, you
enough.
Know, another,
enough.
Another reflection of how disappointing we are as humans. Ugh.
All right.
Okay. Anyway. Oh, okay. This is interesting. So, over the weekend, the EFF accused they accused the ANC's Dan Bovu of trying to bribe them, Gareth.
Yeah, this is a big story.
This is quite a story. The ANC's Dan Bovu has rather denied the claim that that's being made by the EFF. That he tried to bribe its councillors in Johannesburg to vote for the ANC, and he says that he intends opening a case of defamation against the party. Mm. This claim came out on Sunday, where the Economic Freedom Fighters accused Bovu, who is the outgoing member of the Mayoral Committee for Housing for Johannesburg, of calling its councillors and offering them R500,000, 500,000, in exchange for them to vote with the ANC today.
Talk about sleazy. I want to know who the people are who offered that money. That's what I want to know. I don't care who was meant to be the recipient of it. I want to know who was offering that. Who's got R500,000 in a suitcase lying around ready to bribe someone just to vote a different way? And you know, today's the big day in Johannesburg, right? Everybody goes to council. It's Parksdale versus Herman Mashaba. Now, the EFF have 30 seats. The DA have 104, and the ANC have 124, or something around there. So the EFF, if they vote with the DA, which they say they will.
They say they will.
Even though they don't like Herman, they've put it on record. We don't like Herman. Herman's a bit of a capitalist.
And the DA said, well, we're keeping Herman, so that's just the way it is.
But what a great argument to be involved in, that someone's ideas are actually brought into question, not their race or their political leanings in terms of being pro or anti this or that. This is a simple discussion. For the EFF, principally, they don't like capitalists. That's why they're against it. I love that. I'm okay with that, guys. Go ahead. You don't like capitalists? Thanks for making it clear. But vote with him because you hate the majority ruling party having control of the council again. Let's see what happens. If the EFF send their 30 votes that way, then the DA-EFF coalition, well, not coalition, but the DA will be able to form a minority government.
Now, the EFF say that they're going to be opening a case of bribery against Bovu.
Yeah.
It warned that its votes were not up for sale, be it money or positions. However, Bovu denied this claim and has accused the EFF of desperate grandstanding. I don't know if he intends on doing anything from his side, you know, legally speaking.
Well, did you hear what happened in Rustenburg?
Tell me.
Apparently, there was some person who voted from one of the parties. It was either the DA or the EFF or the Vryheidsfront Plus or one of them that was bribed essentially to vote the opposite way. So they didn't get the whole Rustenburg council under their control or something. And we need someone to explain this to us. But there was a snake in the grass.
Oh dear.
Yeah. And so they've got to look into that too, because the EFF were going to have control of that municipality, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now they don't anymore.
Well, I don't know. There was some controversy, and I'm not sure whether it's resolved or not yet, but I'm looking into it. I'll find the answer for you before the end of the day today. We'll get to the bottom of this. Someone has been cheating and lying and thieving and stealing and carrying on like a typical politician.
A typical greedy politician.
Right. And then Julius even said, take your greed to Zuma. Don't bring your greed to the EFF benches. We will not be bribed. Yeah?
Okay, and then Ryan the Punk Lochte has apologized for his stupid incident that unfolded in Rio. And then it was discovered that he lied and made up the entire story. And so he went on to say, I over-exaggerated that story. No, you didn't, Ryan the Punk.
You lied.
You made it up. You didn't over-exaggerate.
Lies, 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 all lies. That's what that is.
And if I had never done that, we wouldn't be in this mess. He was talking to NBC over the weekend when he said all of this. None of this would have happened, he added, about the aftermath in which three of his fellow swimmers were questioned by Brazilian police. One was ordered to donate nearly $11,000 to a Brazilian charity. 32-year-old Lochte, who people have been saying, he was just a kid. That's a fucking overgrown kid at 32.
Exactly.
Yes.
Why would people make an excuse?
It's so annoying. He is a punk.
And according to Ben, he's the dumbest guy at the Olympics, too.
According to him, he's the dumbest. This guy's given evidence throughout his life that he is as thick as a plank.
Right. So here's the story about Rustenburg. Do you want to know?
Yeah.
The ANC's Mpokun will be mayor again after a 46-43 count in his favor. In opposition, the Forum for Service Delivery had nominated Rocky Malebana Metsing as the mayor. Rustenburg was the only hung municipality in the Northwest Province. The governing party secured 48.55% of the votes. The collective opposition made up 46 seats out of the 89 available, meaning the ANC needs 2 seats from smaller parties. However, no coalitions were finalized. Earlier in the day, EFF supporters sang jubilation songs ahead of the first council, but once the final vote was in and the mayor and speaker announced, the mood changed radically. Thulani Makhanya, EFF chairperson in the region, optimistically said earlier that we're going to make history in Rustenburg. We have made a decision. Other opposition parties, 45 councillors who are going to vote. And then, suddenly that didn't happen. The ANC ended up retaining it. Reverse of this morning's scenes, when the EFF filled the hall with songs. ANC supporters on chairs, corridors, singing celebratory songs. Rustenburg. So, clearly, 2 or 3 seats were bought by the ANC. That's what people are saying. Or else, you know, if we believe it in all good conscience, some people from the opposition decided to vote with the ANC. Now, I wonder who that could be.
And what is supposed to happen if people are caught being bribed or accepting bribes? Shouldn't there be legal ramifications for that? Bribery is a crime, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you should have your political license taken away.
No, you should be locked straight away in jail. Just straight away. No discussion needed. All right, so Ryan Lochte just tweeted, or did yesterday, my hair is going back to its normal color tomorrow with praying hands.
Yeah, because that's the biggest thing in his world. That is it. Again, this guy keeps giving his evidence why he's such a dipshit.
What an idiot.
Oh, he is so annoying. And why aren't his PR team doing a better job? You know, they really should just...
I think they've given up on him.
Gosh. Wow.
They don't even want anything to do with him. All right. What else, Mubs?
Gareth, we've got another annoying... racist incident that's come out of the University of the Free State.
Oh, no.
You know...
In the week that Prof. Janssen is leaving.
The university is embroiled in yet another racist incident involving an employee and a student.
Uh-oh.
The Workers and Student Forum say that a black security officer was allegedly sprinkled with urine by a white student on Marikana Day. This was on August the 16th. The incident happened at the medical school of the Bloemfontein campus at UOFS.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently what had happened is the security officer was, you know, doing her job. These students wanted they either wanted access or to leave the premises. And they weren't able to produce their valid ID cards, their student cards, you know, which the security officer said, you know, you need to show me your card so that I know that you people attend here. And then allegedly one of the students, I don't know, whipped his dongle out and sprinkled urine on her.
What?
I don't understand.
That's what happened?
The management of the University of the Free State is investigating the matter as urgent. This is according to the university. The student forum say that this is not the first incident of a racist nature to be reported to the university this year alone.
Wow, that's incredible. So the guy actually...
Well, actually, I don't know. Because I don't know how else you manage to sprinkle urine on another person. How else would you do it?
Unreal. That's just ridiculous. Huh? What kind of a way is that to behave? And what is it with guys who... Like, adult, evolved, mammal human beings who have brains that are larger than their adrenal glands that decide to just, in a moment of... You've got to imagine what kind of stupidity is lurking deep down inside and they can't control to suddenly whip it out. I mean, it doesn't matter how much you upset me. I'm not going to whip it out. First of all, I'll be embarrassed. And then suddenly we'll be back to square one. But second of all, what kind of a reaction is that? Huh? This is sad. It's just sad. Ugh, unbelievable. All right, so let's get into the sport with Ben. We've missed out on Ben's sport for a while. There were some horrendous attempts at running the sport while you were away, including Romain and at least two really shitty sports presenters. But here he is. He's back in the seat, and it's time to check in with Ben Karpinski on the sports desk. Everybody's been waiting for it. Go on, Ben. Take control of the reins.
Well, Gareth, the Olympics are done. The Rio 26 Olympics, which by all counts were a massive success. When you think going to the Games, people were dying of flesh-eating bacteria from rivers, yeah. Zika, knife crime. There couldn't have been a worse intro for a sporting event than the Rio 2016 Games. But here we go. We've had a great 2 weeks. And by all counts as well, also a great kind of campaign for the South Africans, right? 10 medals in total.
Yeah, we're very happy.
So let's just run through the people who made us so proud throughout this. And just to kind of, as an aside, anybody who got to the Olympics for South Africa, they did us proud. I know it's the most cliche thing to say, like, oh, but you got to the Games, and that itself is a victory. But it really bloody is, huh? The Olympic Games is something else. Like, I was watching the marathon yesterday. The guy's coming in, like, in 100th place or raising their arms going over the line. I know, Gareth, this goes against your theory about marathon runs. But if you watch the marathon, and these guys are incredible. And this one dude ran over the line sideways because certain muscles are cramped up so much he couldn't run forward. Like, it's just the greatest thing in the world, okay? And well done to everyone who went there. But in particular, wait for Niekerk. Now, people are always going to argue, what's the best South African moment from the Olympics? And obviously, Caster Semenya comes into it because of what she managed to achieve through a troubled career, when you think about it. Chad Leclerc's heroics. There's been so many great success stories. But Wade van Niekerk, let's not get away from the fact, he ran the fastest 400-meter race ever.
Sure.
So anyone who's ever had two legs, ever, ever, he's beaten them over 400 meters. That makes you the greatest person in the world in a facet of life.
Absolutely.
It's as simple as that.
And I was looking at the at the story of Luvo as well, who did the long jump. And there he is. He's this dude who was on tick. He had this shitty life. His parents.
Yeah, we'll get into him. I mean, it's the story itself.
Steal your thunder.
So Wade van Niekerk, gold medal, and he got a world record running out of lane 8.
Amazing.
That's like having the cheap seats in the stadium. It really is. Lane 8, he ran blind, and he just did something that all of us were just so, so proud of. I think it's probably the greatest moment in SA sporting history, and from someone who loves rugby and cricket the way I do, that's a big compliment, because this guy deserves it.
Wow.
It's gold in the 400 meters. Caster Semenya, we speak about all weekend. Gold in 800 meters, the way she ran that race, the way she's kind of just dealt with all the criticism, the way she's dealt with everything being so adverse against her. You know, everything has just been about other things than running, and it takes a whole lot to think that she is so young. She's gone through so much. For a young person to be this composed, hats off to this woman in every single facet of it. Chad Leclerc, well, he didn't get gold as expected, right? He won in 2012 by beating Phelps in the 200 meter butterfly. Wasn't happen this time round. He came off second best to the greatest swimmer of all time. Didn't even medal in that event that he was hoping to do well in, but he came back and he got a silver in the 100 meter butterfly. And then he got the surprise silver in the 200 meter freestyle. So good for Chad, and he will be back. He's only 26, so he's got another Olympics in him. Cameron Finneberg, well, he was swimming against Adam Peaty, which is basically like me running against Usain Bolt. Adam Peaty was always the guy who's going to win that medal in the 100 meter breaststroke. The guy's incredible.
Cameron tweeted out and Instagrammed a picture of his London medal, which was gold, and then his Rio medal of silver. And, you know, I mean, what a thing to be able to say you have.
Yeah, incredible.
I think that's great.
He did bloody well. Peaty, top of his game, much like Cameron was in 2012. So there's no shame there. Silver medal, superb effort. And then the rowers, Sean Keeling, Lawrence Britton. They didn't have the greatest run into the men's coxless pairs rowing.
I'm sorry?
Coxless pairs. It's got nothing to do with
it's a real thing, Mubs.
Okay.
So without them cox, they went and they got a silver.
Right.
Also bloody impressive there. Very, very good medal for them. Unfortunately, the rest of our rows, well, we made four finals after that, and none of them kicked on to get onto the podium, which is a big shame. But, oh, Gareth, you mentioned it. Luvo Binyoga, oh, what an incredible story. Now, this guy was your typical so-so talented, yet not so disciplined, right? And I know we all give Sascock and the bunch of them all a whole lot of shit about being, you know, ill-equipped to run athletics and yep. anything in this country. But Gideon Sam, much has been made about him and his organization going out and saying, we need a long jumper. We in this country feel that we should have a long jump world champion. And Luvo was associated with that title. But, you know, he had some problems with drugs. Discipline wasn't the greatest thing for him. And they literally sat him down and said, look, you've got a gift. You've got an amazing talent. We're going to nurture you and we're going to take you to the top. Just after that, he was banned from the sport for 18 months because he had that methamphetamine, took mm-hmm. whatever in his blood. They still persisted with him through that ban. They said, all right, set back, but we're going to make sure that come Rio, you're going to be something special. And something special he bloody well is. Silver medal there. He was pipped by the smallest of margins by the American guy whose last jump got him the gold. But you think, this dude is what, 25?
No, he's still got time. Yeah.
He'll be 29 in Tokyo 2020, right? So Luvo is, again, right. huge potential here. Sunette Viljoen, she got a silver in the women's javelin. Ex-SA cricketer Sunette, it was disappointing in 2012 in London by her own admission. And bounced back brilliantly there. Henry Skuma, now this is a guy whose story might not be told by in the same sort of height, obviously, as the guy people have just mentioned. But this dude, 2 days prior to the men's triathlon, okay, now in a world event, a world-class event, he's never finished in the top three in his life as a professional. Hmm. He was man down to the point where he didn't know if he was going to compete, let alone be able to be decent for like a week after. He lost all this weight. He was an absolute shivering, shaking mess, sweating mess in the tropical climates of Rio, but he came back and somehow got a bronze medal in the triathlon. That wow. in itself could be said as like the greatest comeback story within the comeback stories. And then the Blitzboks, a slight disappointing medal for them. I know it sounds harsh to call it a disappointing medal, but they're a great side. They've got so much talent. They're a really good team.
They should have won it.
They should have got to the final. Gareth, whether they would have got on and beaten Fiji, who have had been the best sevens team in the world throughout the World Series this year, I kind of don't think so. Fiji are an incredible team. So all credit to the Blitzboks for getting a medal there, but all the glory to Fiji, who got the first ever medal for the country of Fiji.
Beautiful.
So those were our 10 medals. Those are the people who are going to get the hero's welcome when they get back, or if they're not back already. But with all the participants, I mean, like, there's been all kinds of hate thrown around on Twitter about some guys making up the numbers, but trust me, if you run a lap of a track, and when you think you have emphysema after that, realize these guys do this and more. It's just something. This is why sport is so great, because although we should never idolize people, because people will let us down like Oscar and so many others, just idolize what these sports people do and what sacrifice and hard work can get you in life. And this is why we should all love sport, and this is what the Olympics reminds us of. That is my moralistic line. Let's get back to some other things. Usain Bolt, he signed off for the Olympics with 9 gold medals, right?
Yes.
He did the triple-triple. If you haven't seen the men's 4x100-meter relay yet, you have to do this. Make this a priority for today, right?
Okay.
It's neck and neck. All the guys are running. It's mm-hmm. passing the batons. It's all very cool, right? Bolt gets it, and it's just like him and then everyone else. It's like someone pressed fast forward. The guy just... just think that we can tell people we live in the lifetime of Usain Bolt. And he does it with a smile on his face. He does it while dancing pre and post. The guy's incredible.
He's such a happy dude. He's just so he's so superior to all other human beings. I wish I could be... I've never wanted to be another human but Gareth Cliff, but just for a couple of minutes of my next life, I'd like to be Usain Bolt and just know how it feels to be such a superior creature to all the other creatures.
Yeah, well, superior is a big thing, Gareth, because people are saying, well, Phelps obviously is the greatest swimmer of all time.
Yeah.
Bolt's the greatest track and field swimmer, track and field athlete of all time. So, but then people go, oh yeah, but Phelps had all the other medals. He had 23 golds, you said only had 9. Well, you think about it, if Usain Bolt did any more than the 3 events that he did do, he would explode. His legs would fall off his body, he would die.
Yeah.
Phelps can do other events, right? Because that's swimming.
Well, also you swim. I mean, what's the difference between a butterfly and a freestyle, really?
Thereabouts,
potato,
right?
Potato.
Now, Gus, a guy on Twitter, says, well, if track at 80 meters, 100 meters, 200 meters, relay, running backwards and running sideways, Bolt will also have 23 goals.
Yeah. Speaking of Twitter, how much trouble did you get in with Black Twitter? Because Mandla, my boy, says, Karpinski got a taste of Black Twitter over the weekend.
Harsh, huh? Yeah.
Ben, you should know better than to waste your time trying to engage with those ignoramus, simpleton, infantilized, bigot, illiberal, fascist, authoritarian, militant, uneducated, unemployed, arrogant, hypocritical, fucking regressive leftists.
Sure.
Mandla is very opinionated about this.
Mandla, I think, used all the adjectives that exist in the world in that message. What did you do, Ben?
He says, whatever you say, as true as it may be, they will always be waiting with pitchforks like backward hominidae because you are white.
It's so true, Mandla. I got to say, if, as long as I'm writing your books, the world is okay because you are an intelligent human being. Fikile Mbalula was in the change room of the Springboks, right? And I just believe there's a fine line between what your job is and what your showboating, all that kind of stuff is. And we know all there for Fikile. He's big mouth around elections and a lot of it's personal gain. And there he is getting photo opportunities because the box won. Mm. And I tweeted the pic and I said, it's always worrying when politics gets this close to sport.
Yeah.
People are going, oh, he's a sports minister, you dickhead. Obviously, he's going to be with sports people. Mm. And it was a fight. But I like to engage from time to time. And But like a lot of the arguments, no matter what I said, people just said, oh, yeah, I bet you don't even vote ANC. What do you know about SA? And like, oh, God, the cretinness out there. And then another guy just said, yeah, but you're a racist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. Look, it's
That just suddenly was thrown in the pot.
Yeah, you know, when somebody has decided that you are something, there's pretty much no way for the conversation to go after that. So
that's it.
And you're a racist, Ben.
I asked Julius about this whole thing once, and he said to me, yeah, but you are white.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's like farting against the wind without an arsehole. It's just no point. But anyway, so let's not
it's kind of like
that.
When the old apartheid government saw you outside, and it was after 8 o'clock at night, and you were black. It didn't matter what your reason was.
No.
It didn't matter what your excuse was. You're black and it's 8 o'clock. What
you were
the hell?
You're committing a crime. Yeah, nothing. No. So, Bolt's greatest. Out of all the 30 top 100 meter times in the history of running, 21 athletes out of the 30 have tested positive for drugs. The other 9 times, all Usain Bolt. That's pretty incredible.
That's fantastic.
Just to wrap up the other big ones from the weekend, Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge. Now, he won the marathon. Now, this dude, he sprinted basically the whole race. I think if you had joined this guy the last 400 meters, he still would have beaten you, even if you're a decent runner. Brazil finished off the medals very nicely for them. They won the men's football, which was a huge thing. And well done to Dwayne DeLocca for calling that match. Mm. And then they also won the men's indoor volleyball. So they got to finish the games on an absolute high. And then they had this big closing ceremony, which is really, really cool. So basically, it's off to Tokyo now. And this morning on The Bounce Show at 10 a.m. right here on Cliff Central, I will be going into what Team SA should be looking forward to and just the great potential that we have. Quickly into the rugby, SA managed to get over the RGs in the end, 30-23. Like I said on Friday in that mumbled line that I had from overseas, this Argentinian team really comes together once they put that jersey on. I mean, they're a bunch of scrappers, but geez, when they sing that anthem, they're very much a different beast. And in Australia, well, speaking about farting in the wind with no arsehole, 8 and New Zealand 42. They've got no chance of getting anywhere close to these Kiwis. Well, no one does, really. They're 20% better than anyone else. So don't even look for any results other than New Zealand. Right, football, Man United, they won. Leicester and Arsenal, they looked like they didn't actually want to play at all, so they drew. Burnley beat Liverpool 2-0, which was quite a surprise. Man City absolutely hammered Stoke 4-1. And Stroke is what they'll be called through the whole season now, thanks to Roman. I think that's a much better name than
that's
Stoke.
Right. And Mabali didn't mind it either.
And finally, just two stories. One on the golf course. A golf course in Victoria, Australia has been absolutely overrun with Pokemon Go players. Apparently, there's a huge amount of Charmanders on the golf course.
These
poor golfers, all they want to do is play golf, and they'd be inundated by these teens running around trying to capture the Charmander. So the golf course has actually asked Nintendo, could you please remove the nest of Charmanders from our course? Because we've had to employ additional security. Our course is being screwed up by these people. But speaking of courses and things being screwed up, Kingsmead, well, let's not ever bother playing cricket there ever again. Not only did the approaches never win there, but they try to change the outfield.
Yeah, then it was wet on the outfield, then it was bad light.
Then it rained, and then all day yesterday was blazing sunlight, but the field was so screwed because they did all these alterations to it, they couldn't play. It was so embarrassing to see this outfield, and it's an embarrassment to Test cricket. The Proteas are slumped to the 7th in the world, right? They need bat on ball right now. They need to play more games. Taking them to Durban is just stupid. If you do actually care about the game, not that it's any point, SA got 263 all out. New Zealand are 15 for 2. Day 4 should start pertaining to field conditions being playable.
All right.
And that's pretty much it. But yeah, lots more sport today. 10 a.m. SA time right here on Cliff Central, The Bounce Show with me, and a whole bunch of sport.
All right. Yeah, and lots to catch up on with Ben there. So if you feel like you didn't get your fill now, you can get it then. 10 o'clock this morning. We've also got a bunch of other really cool stuff happening today. I'll tell you what all of that is in a short while, but right now it is time for Anthea Gardner to give us the latest in money. Are you ready for some economic indicators? Are you ready for some market news? All right, Anthea, what do we got today?
Good morning.
Monday.
Indeed. I want to start with a sports story.
Oh.
Yeah. So last week it was announced that the Iron Man brand bought the Absa Cape Epic, which is a mountain bike race in South Africa. It's the only mountain bike race that is classified under UCI, which is the same as the Tour de France. They didn't say how much they were buying it for, but I think what's interesting about this is that there's money in sports companies, because the Ironman used to be owned by a private equity, US private equity company called Providence, who sold out to China's richest man last year for $650 million. And Providence bought it in 2008 for between $50 and $80 million. So in the 8 years that they've held it, or no, not even 7 years, it increased by 10 times. There you go. But
it's a useful, valuable brand.
Indeed. But there you go. South Africa's quintessential mountain bike race is now owned by the Chinese.
Like so much of South Africa. Let's not kid around.
Or Africa at the moment, right?
All right. Got you.
Okay. And then get to the market, right? So our market on Friday traded lower about 0.5%, despite the weaker rand, which is now 13.50 to the dollar, 15.28 to the euro, 17.64 to the pound. And of course, because of this, the banks came off, platinum shares, retailers were lower. It really is all about central banks at the moment. And in fact, I think it's this Friday or Thursday, the central banks all meet in Jackson Hole to start their symposium. And they all talk about policy and what they want to do with interest rates. And I think that'll kind of really sway the market or help us decide where we're going with this. And I'm talking about macroeconomics now, right? So not company news specifically, but just what's going to drive growth, how we're going to get there, and we're all these expectations of quantitative easing going on at the moment. So we'll see. It really is wait and see. I think the one thing that is surprising is probably the oil price. It really is moving into bullish territory at the moment. Brent crude is now trading over $50 a barrel.
Sure.
So that's quite something. And
we haven't been up there for a while.
Exactly. And Brent crude has had quite, all the crude oil has had quite a run. I mean, it's up 20% in the last, 3 weeks or so. And there's a lot of speculation that OPEC will put on production freezes. But then the flip side of the story is that Saudi Arabia are saying that they're actually going to hike oil and refined products to the export market, because actually, despite the fact that they produce oil between $9 and $12 a barrel, so for them it's just anything above that, pure profit, they are actually eating into their deficit at the moment. So they're not just eating or they're not just kind of living off their profits from oil. They always have, or they used to have, huge oil reserves or capital reserves from oil production. And they've got a meeting later this month in Algiers.
Hey, what does that mean? Does that mean that Saudi Arabia they've got more money than they've ever had? Or does it mean that they're starting to...
They've got less money than they've ever had.
So they're starting to eat off of what you saying is their reserve, and is therefore their cushion, which has always kept them fairly liquid.
That's exactly right.
Okay, got you.
And they're quite tough. Like OPEC is saying, listen, we need to stop production freezes. We can't continue to increase the rig count. Let's kind of watch what we're doing.
But Saudi Arabia have never really given a damn about any other country at all. So why would they suddenly start now?
That's exactly where we're going with this. Yeah. So there you go.
We don't expect sympathy and empathy from them.
So I think Saudi will keep the oil price lower.
Sure.
I think if they just keep pumping. And of course, the lower it is, the better for them because they're less competitors in the market.
Well, they also hate Iran. And Iran can produce oil too, just a little bit more expensive than they can. So why should they make Iran rich? They'll rather keep the price low.
And Iran are desperate to start producing oil now that their
sanctions have been lifted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's the real story behind the story is that it's Iran and Saudi Arabia. Come on. We don't mess you around here. We'll give you the true story.
Not so subtly as well. Okay, some company news. So we had quite a few companies on Friday putting out trading updates. Sibanye-Gold was one of them. They said their first half headline earnings per share would be up over 500% on last year's number.
What?
I know. Isn't that crazy? I mean, actually, the normalized number, which is the number that takes into account gains and losses on things like foreign exchange and financial instruments like hedges, is up 700%. So some big numbers there. The share was down 2% on Friday, but that's because it's had such an incredible run. And everyone knows, as we've been watching this gold price rise through the first half of the year, we knew that it was going to happen. So traders were, you know, they don't really need the trading update. They've got a spreadsheet which exactly plugs in the gold price and says, oh, now it's worth so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there was some profit taking on Friday. Patrice Motsepe's African Rainbow Minerals was also put out a trading statement. Not as good, though. They said that their HEPS, or their headline earnings per share number, and they're reporting full year numbers, was going to decrease by between 36 and 41% compared to last year. And so there's a couple of things going on there. One, I don't think they have that much exposure to gold, but they're also impairing a copper mine for 1.4 million rand. So that's basically a loss. So they're writing it off, basically. I think what should counter it is the fact that there's been a decrease in shares in issue because of the restructure of the BEE deal. So suddenly you've got 5 million shares less in the market, which means that it will help. It won't hold the share price, but it will help to keep the share price kind of on an even keel, I think.
Okay.
And then after market closed on Friday, MoneyWeb reported, this is very difficult as well. They're saying their loss per share, or their headline loss per share, is expected to show an increased loss of about 61% compared to last year. So it's 173 versus 183 cents per share. You know, this is an interesting one because it's a media company and I think possibly you'd be more interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But they listed in 1999 at 1 rand 10 cents a share. They're now trading at 25 cents a share and very little volume. So nothing happened to the share on Friday. In fact, nothing traded at all. So we'll see what happens to it today. But it is fairly tightly held.
Okay.
And then pharmaceutical manufacturer Adcock Ingram reported as well. That share was up 4%. Now, that was a great result, actually. They said that earnings per share would be 43% higher year on year. This is such an interesting share because it really has been around for a while. You know, the company was started in Krugersdorp by a guy called E.J. Adcock 125 years ago.
Huh.
One of his apprentices, Jaime Tannenbaum, used to work for him. Him and his brothers actually bought out the company in kind of the early 1900s. And then they built out this kind of national retail pharmacies, toiletry manufacturing business. Adcock Ingram first listed on the JSE in 1950. Then it was sold to Tiger Brands in 1999 for 3.4 billion rand. So, of course, delisted. And then in August 2008, they relisted on the JSE for a value of 5.8 billion rand. So basically, Tiger Brands bought it and sold it. How many years is that? 9 years later for twice the value.
Nice.
Not bad at all, right?
No, not at all. Yeah.
It has been the target of quite a few bidding wars. And one of them, the most recent, was between the Chilean pharmaceutical company CFR and our very own Bidvest. And it was a big issue at the time because everyone was worried that Brian Joffe would overpay for Adcock Ingram. And he now owns 30%. And he said he doesn't really want to own 100% of the company. So they reported, they put out a trading statement on Friday, 43% higher year-on-year earnings per share. In the last 2.5 years, though, the share has fallen from 70 rand to 47 rand a share. So I think it's quite a difficult one. There are a couple of things working against them, but they should put out their full results next week, I think. So we'll see what happens there.
All right. If you had to buy anything at the moment, I mean, if you had a whole lot of cash lying around, would you rather keep the cash, or is there one particular?
So I'm looking at Imperial at the moment. It's the local car company. And in fact, because of the strong rand, we should see some nice earnings coming through from some of the local companies. So Imperial, probably one of them. The retailers have done particularly well, although I think there'll be some profit taking there. Truworths, not so much. Foschini Group, definitely. I'd still buy Woolworths at these levels, although I own them. Mm-hmm. if you don't own them.
89 rand a share now.
Somewhere, yeah. So anything below 100, I think, is still a good bargain.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And sell?
Oh. I'm not a great seller of shares, am I?
No, well,
there's nothing that has
you're smart. You're smarter than me, and you have a long-term view. I am impatient and stupid.
Sure, you are impatient, yeah. We know this from Friday, right?
Right.
Let's see. Let me think about this. So we've got Advitech are reporting today, which should be interesting. I do hold them. If you don't hold them, would I buy them? They've had a good run. I probably would.
Mm-hmm.
ShopRite, they're reporting this week as well. I'd probably buy some of those if you didn't own them. And then Italtile. We spoke about Italtile a while ago, remember? You need to be buying some of those. But again, it's one of those that's fairly tightly held, so...
Okay. All right, Anthea, that's about it. That's all we got time for this morning, but thank you. Ben wants to ask you something.
I've got one quick thing, Anthea. As a person who knows about investments, right?
Oh, yeah, she does that.
Yeah, as the person on the show. If I was to say to you, by investing 100,000 Rand today, you could get 149,000 on the 8th of October, would that be a good investment?
There's something wrong with that. 8th of October this year?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, there are rules and regulations about advertising investments, right? And the FSB
This is a hypothetical amount that I'm giving you. So if you put 100,000 Rand down today, right?
Yeah.
You will essentially get 15,000 Rand plus your original investment back on the 8th of October. Would you say?
I'd say it's a bad investment. I like the idea of those returns, but if somebody's promising you that... there's something wrong with it.
Well, Anthea, it's a sports bet.
Oh. So it's not an investment, Ben. It's a bet.
No, but that's what I'm asking you. It's not a bet because it's about the All Blacks, right, winning the rugby championship. There is not a chance in hell any other team's going to come anywhere close to it. Every one of their competitors is weaker than last year. The All Blacks are as strong as ever. But people are still actually offering you odds on them not winning a tournament.
Wow, that is incredible, right?
But that's a decent return, right? I mean, I'm not saying we all have 100,000 Rand lying around.
Sure.
But why does it have to be 100,000 Rand? Can't it just be 15% of something? So can't you put 10,000 Rand down?
We can. I'm just using a number. I'm trying to speak in your language here. I'm not going to say
1,000
Rand.
Big numbers.
Yeah.
But that's quite a thing, right? The All Blacks, I mean, if you look, there's certain things in sport, but like that's a good return on investment, right? You're getting it 15% by October 8th.
Mm. Yeah. And your downside risk is you could end up with zero. You could lose 100.
But that's the thing. The All Blacks aren't going to lose, Anthea.
Oh.
It's physically impossible.
Uh-oh.
They just beat Australia 42-8 away from home. That is the second best team in the tournament.
Sure, Ben. That's a big call. They aren't going to lose.
I think Ben is trying to find a way to gather 100,000 Rand very quickly, and he's going to go for this.
All right. I'm leaving now.
All right. Well, we tried.
Cheers,
right,
guys.
Thanks, Anthea. There we go. There's a look at your money for this morning. Sure, lots to talk about today. We've got a nice opportunity for us all to share our ideas and thoughts and all the stuff that you want to talk about around the Olympics, around Johannesburg. Today's the big day for Johannesburg. Who's going to be the mayor? Will it be Parks? Will it be Herman?
Or as some people like to call him, Hairman.
Hairman. You think he calls himself Hairman?
No, they spell it H-A-I-R.
Oh, right. Well, I'd like to hear from you. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. That's the number you can call us on. 0861-555-189. Pasheed is waiting for your call. You can also get hold of us on Skype. It's Cliff Central Studio, one word. And you can get straight on air with us and talk about whatever's on your mind today. You know, that's how it works. Give us a call. Tell us what you're up to.
When you're a CIO in a growing corporate, there's no just taking care of yourself and that's that. When you're a CIO, people see IT as a cost rather than a strategic investment. But we know you knew that. We know that between the successes and failures, the courage to continue is what counts. We also know that food is on other people's plates because of your job. The courage to grow is business. We've got the advisors, products and solutions that enable you to do so. MTN Business, a new world of business.
How to start your great with Kellogg's and the Kelman 20.
Don't procrastinate. Do what you want to do and do it now.
Be as good as you can, but they can't actually ignore you.
Run your own race and stop comparing yourself to other people.
On your own pace, your own race, your own lane.
Love yourself enough to work on yourself and be honest with yourself.
The main thing is action every single day. Small attainable goals that will get you in the right direction.
Hashtag start your great.
Choice. Sometimes you have it and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
CliffCentral.com.